And welcome, everyone. It is Gavin Miller. I'm here with
Braden Pittman.
And you are listening to Pick and Slip. It's the second time we've been back in the span of 5 months. So it's kind of, I'm excited. There's a lot to talk about today.
Feels good. I love being back. How are you doing, Gavin?
I'm doing great. I think, you know, been chilling, just watching NBA games, looking at highlight scores.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very sad yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. It feels good just having the NBA back.
Yeah. The NBA in general being back is a great feeling by itself, especially not just the regular season, now there's the playoffs as well.
Yeah, and so that's a good jumping off point. Regular season ended just about a week ago.
Yeah.
Ended with... it was really exciting, actually. So there were four games the last day that all mattered, because the Spurs, Suns, Grizzlies, and Portland were all playing for the 8 and 9 seed, because whoever was in the 8 and 9 seed had a chance for the 8 seed to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that was the last day of the regular season. So what ended up happening was early in the day, the Spurs lost, eliminated from contention. The Suns won. Shortly after that, the Grizzlies won, and then it all came down to the Portland game. If the Trailblazers won, then they secure the 8 seed. If they lose, the Grizzlies are the 8 seed, the Suns are the 9 seed. And so all eyes were on that Portland game. Damian Lillard dropped, what, a 40-piece?
I think he dropped, like, in the Memphis game.
No, the one before that. For the final contention game. I think he dropped a 50-piece, a 60-piece, then a 40-piece.
It was either a 40 or a 50-piece, yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the 1v1 game between Memphis and the Grizzlies, dropped like a 36, I think, or 35. Yeah.
So what happened was the Trailblazers pulled it out, yep, secured their spot as the 8 seed, which was insanely clutch. CJ hit a bunch of good shots. Yusuf Nurkic was playing good. And then... the next day, or 2 days later, that was Saturday, 2 days later on Saturday, then they played the Grizzlies, Trailblazers versus Grizzlies, whatever team won got the 8 seed. Grizzlies would have had to play another game against Portland. They had to win 2 to get the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Portland secured their 8 seed behind 36 points from Dame, another 30 from CJ. Nurkic had 20 and 17. After the unfortunate passing of his grandmother that day, yeah, that morning, which is very sad. We feel for you, Yusuf. And they secured their spot in the playoffs. And so then we finally had our rankings.
Yeah. And then we know what they've done in the playoffs so far, you know, if you've been paying attention.
If you have been following basketball, you want to now, let's run over the scores?
Scores or games of the playoffs.
Yeah. Because we are 3 days deep now.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go ahead and jump off with that?
Yeah. I'll start off with who won which game. Start the Western Conference, go to the Eastern Conference. But the Western Conference was a bit more exciting than the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So, we're going to start off when an eight seed, Los Angeles Lakers, the LeBron and AD Lakers versus Damian Lillard, Trailblazers, Rip City. So... you guys, if you guys saw the game, you guys would see the Blazers won.
Yeah.
The Blazers beat the Lakers up 1-0. And it was mainly, I feel like, Lillard did really good, Melo did good, Nurkic, CJ, they all did good. And then on the Lakers end, LeBron was the first ever player to have, I believe, it was a 20-15-15.
Yeah.
An NBA history in the playoffs. So 20 plus points, 15 plus assists, 15 plus boards in a playoff game.
Insane game. He played 42 minutes.
Yeah.
He did everything he could.
AD had like 28 points, but only had like 11 boards, I think. It really wasn't that great of a game for AD. He shot like 9 for 23, maybe.
It was an average game for AD.
Yeah, it was an average game.
But then what really killed the Lakers, in my opinion, poor play by Kyle Kuzma. That's never good. You never like seeing that.
Yeah, especially when I feel like that's the third option.
A lot of the time.
So
also, KCP, Danny Green, the other two starters.
Mm-hmm.
Played awful.
KCP, if you guys didn't know, KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, played 29 minutes and had 1 point.
1 point. 0 for 8 shooting.
1 point in 29 minutes.
He went out there and he ran.
So, yeah.
I genuinely believe, in my very heart, that if I played 29 minutes on an NBA team, I would score 2 points.
I just feel like...
Or I would hit a three-pointer. Or get fouled and make both free throws. Something. I wouldn't score 1 point in 29 minutes. And on top of that, if you watch, a lot of the Laker fans will say, well, he's a good defender, blah, blah, blah. Not really. He's not a great defender.
KCP's
average.
I don't know. It's kind of unfortunate. KCP is not a starter. He's not a starter. Lakers are starting, I'm pretty sure. I mean...
The Lakers, what they have is two of the best players in the league, and then a bunch of people that should be on the bench.
Yeah.
But you can only have so many people come off the bench.
And I mean, and the other thing is, when you're paying LeBron and paying AD, you can only get so many other caliber players when you're paying the best power forward for the last decade, maybe? So, yeah.
They don't have the kind of camaraderie that the Warriors had, where KD and Steph Curry both took a pay cut because they wanted to play together. Or Draymond and Klay took a pay cut because they wanted to win another ring. They don't have that.
Yeah.
They have J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters, Kyle Kuzma, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, all relatively old, ring chasing, and barely average. Like, maybe a little above average in... Dwight Howard.
Yeah, as I say, I think the only thing you can say maybe is average, a little bit above average, is Dwight. I wouldn't even say he's a little bit. He's just an average center at this point in his career.
Yeah.
Maybe average is a double-double. But
doesn't shoot threes.
Can't space the floor. That's another problem with the Lakers. They can't space the floor because they don't have as many shooters. They have Danny Green.
Gotten a few shooters.
They
yeah,
have. They got Danny Green, J.R. Smith, Dion Waiters. But J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters didn't even play in the game. They didn't even play, so there's no court spacing.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for 29 minutes, and he scores 1 point, and then J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters sit on the bench?
And I mean, I know his J.R. Smith jokes are going to come in. He doesn't know what time it is. It doesn't matter if he knows what time it is, but it's Dame time, is what it was, because
Damian Lillard went off for 31 points.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum dropped 29. They combined for 60. Yusuf Nurkic did whatever he wanted in the paint because Anthony Davis has no interior defense for whatever reason in the playoffs.
It was a mess.
As a Portland fan, I loved it. As a person who wants to see LeBron get another ring, I was just so sad watching that game.
I have Blazers in six. I'm not even kidding when I say that. I have Blazers in six. Just because the way the Lakers are so bad besides LeBron right now. Like, AD, bro, when I tell you right now, AD, when Anthony Davis and LeBron James are if they can do what they did every night, the Lakers won't get swept.
Yeah.
I mean, they just won't. That's, everyone knows.
Because
they're not going to get swept.
Danny Green will get it back together.
Yeah.
But if next game Danny Green does have it together, he drops 15 points. But then Anthony Davis has another bad game, drops like 15 and 10. They're not winning that one.
We've seen that a couple of times from AD. And you have to think, like, especially if, once again, if CJ can do good, Nurkic can do his role, which he does his role almost every single night. Carmelo can keep doing what he's doing. And you already know Damian Lillard's going to do it.
Carmelo.
Yeah, Carmelo. You already
Carmelo
know Lillard's going to do
it. Carmelo locked up LeBron a couple possessions.
Yeah, he did. Carmelo's been playing like, I feel like, the 2011-2012 Carmelo on the Knicks.
Carmelo Anthony, and for those of you who don't know, signed with the Blazers after not being on a roster for a year after he got dropped by the Thunder. Thunder traded him to the Hawks. Hawks then waived him. He did not have a job for like a year and a half. He was ready to retire, and Portland said, Carmelo, we're gonna get you a ring.
That's what's been happening.
I legitimately believe if the Trailblazers beat the one seed Lakers, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic, and Carmelo Anthony will end this season champions.
So you think, all right, so you're saying AC Blazers, first of all, you're saying that'd be the first ever time an AC team would win the NBA Finals, because it's never happened before.
What you're forgetting, Portland is not an 8 seed. They are an 8 seed by standing. They are not a real 8 seed. Last year, that same roster was the 2 seed.
That's true, too.
They didn't have Nurkic half the season. They didn't have Dame half this season. They didn't have CJ half this season. Their best player was Mario Hezonja.
That's true. I have been saying that. The Blazers are not an 8 seed team. I have said that. I've been telling people that.
Their standing is the 8 seed, but with Nurkic back, with Dame healthy, that's a top four seed.
Yeah, top four seed.
That's not your average 8 seed.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, the average 8 seed doesn't take a game away from the Lakers in the first round.
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's like the Western Conference playoffs right now, all the teams that are in it, this is going to be fun to watch. Like, I kind of want to get past the Blazers-Lakers because we have a lot to talk about. But one last take on it. I have Blazers in 6, and Blazers are not an 8 seed team. They were battling injuries the entire year. I mean, and they still came back and made the playoffs after coming in the bubble. And with Damian Lillard playing like he is right now, almost 40 points a game. Like, if it's not 40, it's about 36 points per game. That's ridiculous.
I'll tell you this. I'm tuning in tonight, 9 o'clock.
I am. Portland
Lakers, mark it on your calendar.
Yeah, tonight at 9. I mean, if you're an NBA fan, you're gonna watch.
You're there.
You're going to at least see highlights of the game. You know, I'm going to go ahead and move us on to the next team. Ridiculous. So much to talk about there. So much variety.
Moving on to another LA team, the 2 seed in the West, Clippers versus Mavs. There have been 2 games played so far.
Mm-hmm.
They're 1-1. The first game, it was close for most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a little bit of a scuffle between, was that Markieff Morris?
It was Markieff Morris and Chris Tapps.
And Luka Doncic.
Well, yeah.
They got into a little scuffle. A couple Clippers players ran up. The refs got involved. And then Kristaps Porzingis pushed his way in front of Luka because Kristaps Porzingis is massive and pushed himself in front of Luka kind of just to defend him. Kristaps already had one technical. A technical was given to Markieff Morris and to Kristaps Porzingis. Kristaps gets ejected. Clippers pull ahead. Kristaps, of course, being the second best player on the Mavs.
All right, like a little, it's not even a hot take, I should say, because I don't know anyone that would. I mean, maybe you think that there was a technical. My NBA rules, it's a technical. But should it have been a technical? No. It shouldn't have. Yeah, it was such a soft call. He got ejected for that. I mean, by NBA rules, yes, it's a technical. It should have been a technical.
It was his second technical.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he got ejected. But was it a technical? Not in my opinion. Not in LeBron's opinion. LeBron was like, that was the softest technical I've ever seen.
In LeBron's opinion, it wasn't. In Patrick Mahomes' opinion, it wasn't.
Kristaps Porzingis stood. He stood in a group of people, and he got a technical for it and got ejected out of the game.
I don't understand.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I don't understand. I'm more of a Paul George fan. I've always liked Paul George since he came out of Fresno State. I just want him to get his ring. So whatever team Paul George is on, I just want him to get his ring.
Yeah.
So as I'm happy they won, but then I'm also scared because the game was so close, and to be fair, they were down almost the entire game up until that ejection, and then they come out the next game, and they lose. They get almost blown out. Like, I mean, it's scary.
Right.
It's very scary.
And so, Clippers beat the Mavs in game 1, and then Gavin, I'll let you go ahead and explain what happened last night.
All right, so last night was a sad, sad night as a Paul George fan. You know, I it's a fun fact. I was on Instagram, and you know, Paul George isn't having too great of a game. It's second quarter, 6 minutes left. He already has about 3 fouls. He hasn't even scored a point, I don't think, at this point in the game.
Didn't have a point the whole first half.
And you know, the Clippers are down by 4. I think it's like 52-48, I think, or something like that as a score. So I'm like, okay, they've kind of came back. They were down by like 12 when I was down here. Now they're down by 4. You know, that's good. And I, fun fact, yeah, I put on my story, can't wait for Paul George to heat up in the second half, even if he has 3 fouls.
I saw that almost right when Gavin posted it. And yeah. I said, yeah, he's going to come back. I was looking at my own TV at the time. I was looking at this score, and I said, yeah, this is doable. Paul George will come back. Don't worry. Yeah. He'll still have 20 tonight.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I come back, fourth quarter, 9 points. Like, what, 4 fouls probably? 2 for 13. Like, I see him do a nice step back into a wide open three point shot and airball it. Didn't even hit the net. He just, I've never seen a worse performance from Paul George in my life.
I sent a video of Paul George missing that shot, and I said, "Is this your GOAT?"
Yeah, I mean, and it was
said,
so.
He said, "This is the most depressing thing I've ever seen."
Yeah, it was depressing. I mean, like. Not literally. I wasn't literally depressed, but you know.
Yeah.
Like,
Clippers, of course, having that iconic backcourt of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi dropped 35 in 40 minutes. Paul George, early fouls made him not be super effective. 13 points total.
13 points.
13.
But I don't even want to acknowledge the shooting because at one point it was like 2 for 13, I think.
I won't even mention what it is. You guys can look it up yourself.
It was, it was so sad to watch.
On Dallas's side, Luka Doncic had 28. He's had 70 in the last two playoff games, most ever by anybody in their first two playoff games. Oh, also, he dropped 42 in his first ever playoff game, which was the first Clippers-Mavs game. That was crazy.
That was 42 insane. In his first ever game?
Yeah, that's the most ever by anybody in their first ever game. Tim Hardaway had 17 points, which was pretty good. Kristaps had 23. And then off the bench, Boban Marjanovic, who we don't see play too often, he got 9 minutes. He scored 13 points and 9 rebounds and had a great interview with Shaq that I highly encourage everyone to watch.
Yeah, I saw it. The interview with the TNT crew.
Yes, that was great. On to the next Western Conference game. That would be the 3-seed Nuggets versus the 6-seed Jazz, which a lot of people, I saw multiple people saying that this was going to be a Nuggets blowout victory, but first of all, not the case so far. Second of all, I don't know why people were thinking that, because the Jazz were only 2 games behind the Nuggets. The West was super close, and people didn't seem to recognize that. That the 3 through the 7 seed all had the exact same record.
Yeah. Almost. That's what I'm saying. Like, the Mavs, sorry, I'm going back to the Mavs just for a second. They're the 6 seed, right?
Yeah.
They're not a 6 seed team.
Yeah, they're.
They're not a. They're
because,
not,
again, they're 2 points, or they're 2 games behind the 3 seed.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, no. It's basically in reality, it's a bunch of 1 through 4 seeds, but some of them are just lied about and said they're an 8th seed, 7th seed.
Right.
It's really just a bunch of 1 through 4 seeds going at each other.
Exactly.
Like,
because the West is stacked this year.
Yeah.
And every other year.
This is the most stacked I've seen the West in a long time. Like, the West is always more dominant than the East, I feel like, but this is the most competitive NBA basketball scene where there's, like, not just one, like, Warriors team that's going to sweep the entire playoffs and, you know, just sweep the finals. Like,
yeah.
It's not like that this year.
Yeah. You're completely right. We'll just zoom through the Jazz Nuggets. First game, Donovan Mitchell had 57 points. That's the third most ever in the playoffs. But the Nuggets won by 10 in overtime. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic on the Nuggets dominated. And then the last game that was last night, the Utah Jazz won 124 to 105. Mitchell had 30 points. He absolutely went off. I've been saying for 2 years now that Donovan Mitchell is the most slept on player in the league, and I still stand that to this day. He averages 25 and no one talks about him. He's absolutely incredible. And definitely the only good scorer on that entire Jazz team.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell is an all-star player. I wouldn't say he's a superstar still. An all-star player.
I don't think he's yet a superstar. I think he should be an all-star.
Yeah.
And I think that there's even a case for all NBA.
I think
there's not that many good shooting guards in the league this year.
All NBA, I think all NBA third team.
Yeah.
Would be exceptional. I wouldn't put him on second team. I definitely would not put him on first team.
Yeah. I think as far as shooting guards go, James Harden's at the top. I don't even know who would be second.
Isn't Paul George a shooting guard?
I think.
Well, he's a small forward. He's small forward, shooting guard. And then
Kawhi Leonard's power forward this year, I thought.
Because I remember when Paul George came out of Fresno, he used a designated shooting guard.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if I thought they had put maybe Montrezl Harrell at power forward.
No, through Kawhi. They've been having Montrezl play on the bench.
Well, play on the bench, yeah. But I was just thinking that Paul George would play shooting guard since that was just before natural position and put Kawhi at the three.
Then Rockets Thunder, big rivalry matchup between James Harden and Chris Paul, kinda. Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul got traded for each other. Rockets backcourt of Russell Westbrook and James Harden being one of the most deadly in the league. Chris Paul leading the Thunder to the 5 seed despite being ranked as only having a 0.1% chance of making the playoffs by ESPN at the beginning of the season. Houston pulled out the first game 123-108. Second game is tonight. Rockets, I believe, still without Russell Westbrook. James Harden dropped 37 points. Eric Gordon had 21. And then on OKC's side, Chris Paul had 20 points and 10 rebounds, which is insane because he's 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
He also had 9 assists, almost a triple-double. Steven Adams had 17 and 12. And Danilo Gallinari had 29 points.
I think...
Really solid Thunder team.
I think... If this is going to be a very close series. Either I think it's going to be 6 or 7.
Oh, I think it's going to 7. No doubt in my mind it's going to 7.
Yeah, I think it's either going to 6 or 7. It's like the teams are really like fair against each other, mainly for the fact that Rockets have more star power in James Harden and Russell Westbrook against the OKC's Chris Paul and Steven Adams. But depth-wise, Thunder still have Danilo Gallinari. It's all Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And you look at the Rockets, you have P.J. Tucker. You don't have Clint Capela anymore because he got traded to the Hawks, I'm pretty sure. So, I feel like, another thing is, I don't think the Rockets can make a deep playoff run. I'm still so skeptical. I know it's worked, the small ball lineup, but it was the regular season. I just want to see how it works. If they go up against like a Lakers team that has Anthony Davis and they run small ball, PJ Tucker at center against Anthony Davis, I just want to see how that works too in the playoffs, not the regular season. But I feel like the Thunders have more depth, which is why it would go to 7. Rockets overall have more star power, like with ease. So that's my take on it. I know plenty of people that believe the Rockets will win in like 5.
Yeah, the Rockets have. The thing that the Rockets do have is 2 MVPs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the one, I don't think that if it comes down to a game 7, that the Thunder are going to have players that are going to drop 50.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The star power is so much more in the Rockets' favor.
And so much basketball can be taken over by one player more than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
You can have James Harden hit 5 threes in a row.
And that's 15.
Yeah, that's like they can. I just think that it's going to be a close one.
Yeah.
And then on to the East, Milwaukee versus Orlando. Orlando pulls out the first game by like 20 points.
Listen. All right, I must say something. Magic won, right?
Yeah.
Bucks in 5.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
It's not like it's nothing like the Trailblazers. Lakers 1-8 seed.
Yeah, here's my prediction for a soundbite you will definitely hear tonight, Bucks versus Magic. You'll hear Vucevic with the turnaround jumper. Oh, and the Magic cut the lead down to 28.
Yeah.
Giannis is dropping 50 tonight.
Giannis is going to do his thing. I think it really depends on the rest of the players besides Giannis. It depends on Chris Middleton. I don't think Chris Middleton's even a second role player. I think he's a 3-and-D. They need another primary ball handler.
Yeah.
In order to really make a win the finals, I feel like they give Giannis a primary ball handler, and which Giannis is also a free agent. And if he goes to the Warriors,
here's what I'm going to say. Giannis MVP,
mm-hmm.
Defensive Player of the Year.
And if so, two pretty of much the biggest. Guaranteed.
He's winning both of those.
Okay.
I'm also, because there's been voting that people have done, and people were being like, oh, they're going to vote LeBron in. No. Giannis is winning it. Giannis is the best defensive player in the league. He's also the best offensive player in the league. He's winning MVP and defensive player of the year.
Is Giannis the best offensive player in the league?
I'd say James Harden is, but I'd say that Giannis is definitely top three.
Okay, yeah.
Are you going to fight that?
You know, no one's going to. We could argue best. No one's going to argue.
Since Shaq.
No one's going to argue top three, though. So. Yeah.
I mean, like that's like when, like, if somebody said Shaq was the best offensive player in 2003, you'd say, maybe Kobe has it as well. But you definitely say Shaq is the most dominant in the paint, and Giannis is hitting as many points in the paint as Shaq did during that time.
Yeah.
Giannis is not getting eliminated in the first round because he's going against Nikola Vucevic and the team with 1,000 centers.
And they also don't have Aaron Gordon, do they? Unless he's coming back tonight. They didn't have him for the first game.
I don't see the Magic even take. Maybe they take another game. Maybe it's Bucks in six.
And Bucks are winning the series. It doesn't matter it goes to. The Bucks are winning the series.
Like same. I'm humoring myself saying that Dame might make it out of the first round, but at the same time he's playing LeBron James. I don't think LeBron James is letting himself lose in the first round. I think LeBron is more likely to drop 100 points in a game than lose in the first round.
I think LeBron would try that. Obviously, wouldn't let himself. I feel like the Lakers would let him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it more comes down
this
to.
This is like Anthony Davis' second playoff series.
I feel like it wouldn't be LeBron would let himself get eliminated. I feel like it'd be the Lakers let themselves get eliminated.
Yeah.
Because LeBron did his thing the first game. He made history in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they still lost because of Bucks the Lakers, fans. the around him.
Yeah. Bucks fans, don't worry. Yeah. You're fine.
You guys aren't even worried. We don't even need to tell you that. You guys know it's Bucks and
Toronto versus Brooklyn. Do we need to talk about this? Toronto's up 2-0. Brooklyn's not good.
Brooklyn's not good.
Brooklyn got carried a couple games by Kyrie Irving. That's why they're in the playoffs. I don't even know who their best player is right now.
Caris LeVert.
Yeah. Not, I mean,
it's Caris. It has to be.
It was a blowout. The Toronto won by 20 the first game, and then they won by 5 the second game. They're up 2-0.
I see a clean sweep coming in there.
Yeah. 3 seed versus the 6 seed.
Celtics
versus 76ers. Celtics are up 2-0.
I see Celtics in 4.
I say Celtics in 5.
I just see a sweep coming.
I think that Joel will drop 140 piece. They'll win a game.
I think Joel will continue to play good basketball. I think they'll still get swept because he's always done the past 2 games. And no,
First game, Jason Tatum had 32 points. Jaylen Brown had 29 points. Kemba Walker had 20. And then that same game, Joel Embiid had 26 points, 16 rebounds. Ben Simmons isn't playing. Al Horford only had 6 points. Tobias Harris only had 15. They're paying both of those people way too much.
That's their second and third options, aside from Ben Simmons being gone.
Ben Simmons is gone, so obviously he's not scoring. Their second and third option right now are averaging 4 points in the playoffs.
When your third option is Al Horford, you know someone's hurt.
Yeah.
Or something's just wrong on the team.
Well, Al Horford last year was the Celtics' third option, and the Celtics were good. This year, Al Horford does not fit their scheme. But anyway, we'll just move on because we're going to get to that in a second. Jason Tatum last night dropped 33 points. Jaylen Brown dropped 20. Kemba Walker dropped 22. Celtics won 128-101. Joel had 34 points, didn't do much. They still got beat by an insane amount. Al Horford came off the bench, had 4 points and 2 rebounds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I see Celtics in 4.
Here's a little game that we're going to play real quick. Gavin,
yes.
What is wrong with the 76ers?
All right, what's wrong with the 76ers? I mean, I'll let you guys on the inside. What's wrong with the 76ers? The 76ers, one, they don't have Ben Simmons. 2, their chemistry is terrible, mainly because of Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid's playing great basketball. Joel Embiid also is a terrible teammate. He makes everyone mad on that team.
Thank you, Gavin.
Yeah.
They're just bad.
It's so unfortunate because you see where they've came from. They came from having about 85 centers on their team. Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Joel Embiid when he first got drafted. They had about 85 centers on that team.
And here's something that makes me so mad. I'm going to run down the first six players on their team. Also, Ben Simmons is part of this. But so, Matisse Thybulle. Incredible defender.
Yeah.
Rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Great three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Good player overall.
He's a great 3-and-D.
Yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
Follow him on Instagram. He's great. Tobias Harris was great with the Pistons, especially with Boban Marjanovic on his side.
Mm-hmm.
They're great friends. He could average 25 if he wanted. He was an all-star 1 year. This year he's averaging like 15 points. It's not good. Doesn't look good. Joel Embiid, absolutely incredible. Second coming of Shaquille O'Neal, and he'll shoot threes. He'll average 30 and 10 if you let him.
Shoot threes on a good day.
You can't build a team around him in the modern era. Josh Richardson came from Miami.
Great defender.
Great defender. Can average 20 for you if you want him to. Does not fit well on a team where he cannot thrive defensively. Shake Milton, another great defensive point guard. They have all these great defenders. Why is their defense so bad? It doesn't make sense. You throw Ben Simmons on there. Maybe best transition player we've ever seen. Passes like Magic Johnson, dunks like LeBron. Why does this not fit? Al Horford. What is going on with Al Horford? Why did they pick Al Horford to give $100 million to?
Al Horford, I was just saying,
I would be more effective coming off their bench.
Al Horford needs to come out. Al Horford, I don't know if he's coming off the bench exactly. He came off the bench last game. He needs to stay coming off the bench. He's not a third option.
I'll give you the reason that they got Al Horford, okay?
The Sixers are a mess right now.
Think about this, okay? So you're the general manager, right?
Yeah.
Al Horford's a free agent. Mm-hmm. The only player that has ever held Joel Embiid to under 15 points in the playoffs is Al Horford.
Yeah.
So you say, oh, maybe we should bring Al Horford on and then completely misuse him. Let's just pretend that he's not a great 3-and-D center that could come off our bench and dominate. And instead, let's pretend that he's Ben Simmons when Ben Simmons gets hurt and try to ball hand. What? What are you doing? It's just Brett Brown is an idiot. I'll look Brett Brown in the eyes right now and say, Brett Brown, you're an idiot. He needs fired. He needs off the team. Could I?
Could you coach?
Could I coach the Sixers 76ers?
Better than Brett Brown?
I fully guarantee that the 76ers would be in contention for a championship if I was the coach instead of Brett Brown.
Those are big standards.
If your star player, Joel Embiid, after a game, says, I don't know what we're doing out there, coach needs to make some adjustments, you are an awful head coach. If your own star player, the figurehead of your team, says that you're doing a bad job, you're out. You've seen what Kobe's done to head coaches.
You've seen
what LeBron's done to head coaches.
All big players.
If Joel Embiid says that his coach is doing a bad job, you better believe Brett Brown's gone at the end of this season.
Yeah, if especially if they get swept. I think if Sixers get swept in the first round by the Celtics, Brett Brown's gone, and they're going to hire who knows who, but they're going to hire somebody.
Yeah.
Do you know what head coach, what? Who needs to be retired or who needs to be rehired? I don't know if he'd still, he was like, an, I think he went to an analyst or something like that like a long time ago. I don't know if even applicable anymore.
Who?
Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson on the Warriors was a, I don't know why they fired him. He was a great coach. Why did no one ever sign Mark Jackson? He wasn't a bad coach.
Yeah, Mark Jackson was not an awful coach.
I don't know. That's something I think about whenever I talk about coaches was Mark Jackson, who I don't know why he got fired.
Yeah.
I don't know why he got fired. He just got fired.
They just said,
don't know why.
We don't like him.
They were making the playoffs every year. This is before, I mean, this is when, like, I think Chris Paul was on the Clippers and CP3, Blake Griffin, Lob City final years, I think. And
yeah.
They made it to, like, the second round or something like that. Maybe they got eliminated in the first round. I can't remember. But that was before Klay Thompson was crazy good. And Draymond Green. They still made the playoffs, and so Mark Jackson did a great job with that team, but they fired him.
So if you were Brett Brown and you had to choose, we're keeping Ben Simmons or we're keeping Joel Embiid, who are you building a team around?
I think I'm going to take... I honestly think I'd take Ben Simmons because I think Joel Embiid's a better player. I think Joel Embiid also makes the team... I think he makes teammates hate each other is a problem.
Yeah, so here's the number one thing. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid can't play next to each other. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons will either stand on the perimeter and not take a three-point shot, or he will post up next to Joel Embiid, and then it just looks like we're playing in the 1960s again, where we have six players posting up at once. It's ridiculous and shouldn't happen. So, that team, I feel like one of them are going to get traded this offseason. I don't think they're making it work.
I would trade one of them.
Three consecutive early playoff exits, it's not working. So, this is what I'm doing, is if... you are building around Joel Embiid. You need to build a Joel Embiid-centric team where you have lots of three-point shooters. And you don't need great defenders. You need shooters.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you have a Robert Covington type that's a 3-and-D god. You don't need another Matisse Thybulle that'll hit that's 3-and-D. You need
a solid three-point shooter.
Kyle Kuzma. You need a J.J. Redick back. You just need people that will stand in your... You need P.J. Washington. Or Tucker, I mean. To stand in those corners. And if Joel Embiid can't score in the post, you pass out to the corner. Because that is... Think about this, okay? When Joel Embiid is in the post, nobody's stopping him. Unless you send, like, a dig in from the corners or something like that to try to get the ball away from him or mess him up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joel Embiid is a smart enough player. He can pass backwards to that corner and punish them. But you know who he doesn't have in that corner? Anyone who can hit a three. He has Al Horford or Josh Richardson or Ben Simmons in that corner.
I think players who are notoriously
bad at hitting threes.
Can't Josh Richardson shoot? I thought maybe in Miami could.
He kind of can. He's more of a defender, and then he's really good at backdoor cuts and just punishing sloppy defense.
I knew Josh Richardson was great at defense.
He's a really good third option. He's somebody that can drop. Like, he's better than Kyle Kuzma in that regard, I would say. He will punish bad defense and he will make opportunities.
I like Josh Richardson. I think he's a above average player, in my opinion. A little bit above average. If he's on the right team.
I'll stop on my 76ers rant.
If he's on the right team.
On to the final teams on the East. Indiana and Miami. Tonight.
Great series.
Yeah. Both very evenly matched teams. The score for the last game, which was on Tuesday, was 113-101. Miami win. The game was a lot closer than the score makes it seem. Jimmy Butler dropped 28 points off of 10 free throws. So without those, it would have been 18. I'm really quickly. Indiana shot 22 free throws. Miami shot 25. So it wasn't like the refs did anything. This really just is an evenly matched team. Victor Oladipo only played 8 minutes before going out with an eye injury.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate. They really needed his defense out there.
Who knows what would have happened.
Did you watch that game?
I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it.
If you watched at the beginning, Victor Oladipo was playing like he was a cornerback. He just kept running. It was genuinely some of the dumber basketball I've ever seen. It was like he was trying to get injured. There were multiple times where he was like, like grabbing his knee and stuff because he just dove onto the floor. Which, like, I like seeing hustle plays like that, but at the same time, you just got off a knee injury, Vic.
I mean, I can see why he did it. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's doing everything in his power. Same thing. I think Paul George has a shoulder injury. He needs surgery. I don't know why Paul George did not get surgery.
Paul George, at the beginning of the season, though, said, I am at 100%.
Yeah, he did. And then yesterday, he was ice packing his shoulder and said that his shoulder threw him off. Get surgery, please, for the love of God. You had the entire season to get surgery.
It's just an excuse.
And you had quarantine. Like, you can't keep saying this.
I think
you
it's can't an keep excuse. Saying
that. It is an excuse. And that's the one thing about Paul George that makes me so mad, is he uses that same excuse almost every single time he loses, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, just
you get surgery. You said
you were at 100% 3 months ago. You've played 6 games, and now it's broken again. Exactly. Come on.
Exactly.
Come on.
I can't deal with that.
So, my biggest problem is I don't think that anybody was there to stop Bam Adebayo. I think Miles Turner played a sloppy game. A lot of Indiana fans have been calling for Miles Turner to be traded. What are your thoughts on that?
I always say Miles Turner needs to get traded. Every single time I check on Miles Turner, it's anywhere from 9 to 12 points.
Yeah?
You can check it. Like, if you think I'm lying, please check the box score. Last game in the playoffs, he had 9 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you can check. But I don't even know. I think his defense is still good. Gets like a block a game. I don't think it's as good as it was. He doesn't average 2 blocks a game anymore. Or any like crazy defense like he did. When he was DPO, when he was in the contention for DPOY.
Here's my thoughts, and I will try to word this in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. I think that Nate McMillan is a great coach.
Agreed.
I think Nate McMillan does a really good job with the pieces he has.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's severely misused in utilizing Miles Turner. I think Miles Turner is an incredible shot blocker and is used in the paint and on defense effectively. We funnel mm-hmm. people into him like he's Rudy Gobert, which is the potential that he has. And I think that we're doing a good job there. I think we're doing a bad job utilizing him on offense. I think that we're asking way too much for him to be a role man and we're treating him like he's Joel Embiid or Rudy Gobert.
Anytime I see Miles Turner on offense, I always see him just pulling threes like he's Ray Allen for some reason.
He looks confused. He looks like coach hasn't told him what he's supposed to do.
I always see him run up the court and then kick it out to him and he pulls a three like he's Ray Allen.
That's, honestly, sometimes I would rather him do, but what we need to do is we need to set up good pick and pop plays for him. Because what we do way more often than not is that we will either pass it to him on the perimeter with 4 seconds left and his only mm-hmm. option is to shoot it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we will set up a play for, like, a pick-and-roll play and expect him to roll to the basket like he's somebody like Rudy Gobert that's going to catch a lob, when really he is an excellent mid-range player
mm-hmm.
and he's real good at threes for a big man. And I would much rather just see him float around the perimeter setting good screens because he has bulked up a little bit than coach trying to get him to either roll to the basket or passing to him with 2 seconds left.
I think that I don't know if it's coach or I don't know if it's that he is just not a good fit with the Pacers yeah. play style. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it's like he doesn't have the right mental state to be like moving adequately with the team, and maybe he need like I think he just needs a little bit of a nudge from coach in the right direction as far as knowing his role, because that's what I just don't think that either he doesn't know his role or coach hasn't told him his role.
And I don't know, we can't say which one it is because we don't know. I mean, yeah. Coach could have talked to Miles Turner 25 times, and while we're saying this, we don't know. Like, we're not there. Yeah,
maybe it's Miles is the one that keeps rolling exactly. and trying to live out his back when he was in college and he could dunk on everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, Miles, I don't know, because Miles has potential, like you said. He can be a good player, but
I don't think that he's ever going to be like an all-star because of his offense.
Just think he could be a great defender. He can be such a good defender.
And he last year was, and I don't know, he's having kind of an off year this year.
Yeah, he can honestly be like a taller Tony Allen. Great defender, no offense.
Yeah, and I would be way, and also, I think that he needs to just up his IQ a little bit. I think he has great defensive IQ, but I think that just on offense, passing out of the post better, stuff like that. But that is where I'm going to end my Miles Turner discussion and my Pacers discussion. I believe we have one more segment.
We do. We have a game.
Yes, our nice little game that we like to play here.
Yep.
Marry, trade, cut.
Yep.
And the way that this game works, it's so we both say a player that we would marry, saying that it's the best play. They're playing amazing right now.
We love the way they're playing.
Yeah. A player we would trade that maybe isn't playing great right now or just would fit better on a different team.
Yeah, either. Yeah.
Somebody that is good and we see the potential in and they're doing a good job, but at the same time, and you could also say, I think this person would fit better on this team.
And you like, trade them.
Like I could say, Ben Simmons fits better on the Warriors or something like that. And then cut, obviously wouldn't really cut them. Like, I wouldn't really cut Anthony Davis, but I could say he just played bad for 4 games in a row, and I don't like
him. Yeah, and he, like, when we just say these things...
that you think is doing real bad.
Yeah, when we say trade and cut, we don't literally mean trade that player. If I say trade for LeBron, which no one's going to say that, but
yeah,
it's just an example.
Yeah.
If someone says trade LeBron, we're not saying literally need to trade LeBron. No, that doesn't make sense. And if we say cut Anthony Davis, no one's going to cut Anthony. You know what I mean? It's just...
So, Gavin, who are you loving right now?
Who am I loving right now? A player I'm actually loving, since I've watched a lot of Clippers games, Kawhi Leonard isn't really getting talked about that much, but Kawhi Leonard is playing really, really good.
Dropped 35 last night.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Consistently.
Yeah.
Really, like, and nobody's really saying anything about it, I don't think. Like,
I think we got used to it, but he doesn't get that same hype as LeBron does when he has a good game.
Kawhi is doing amazing.
Yeah. There's a reason that that he was an MVP candidate like 6 years in a row.
Like, Kawhi, I'm going to pull up his stats really fast.
Yeah.
For the playoffs.
Playoffs so
you,
far.
Yeah, if you have anything you want to say real quick, probably pull us off. Or
yeah,
pull
I, think up that, I think that the Clippers somehow are being slept on, even though before the season they were second in who people thought were going to win the ring, because they have Lou William, Montrezl Harrell, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, just a great team overall. Patrick Beverley, one of the Morris twins, Zubac. They just have a great team. And then all of a sudden, now that it's the playoffs, they're just not getting talked about.
If
anything, I've seen people say that the Mavs are going to pull out the series against the Clippers. I was like, that's ridiculous. Kawhi Leonard is incredible in the playoffs.
Yeah. And we go over here. So just Kawhi, I'm going to say on the season right now, has averaged 27 points per game, 7 and 5.
Yeah.
And why is he not getting talked about?
Yeah, I don't know.
In the playoffs, he's had 30-point games, 25-point. I mean, he's averaging about 25, 26 in the playoffs as well. So it doesn't make sense to me. I know it's talking about it. Like, I don't know. I don't know. That's just me.
Player I've been loving, Yusuf Nurkic. Averaging 15 and 15, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Blazers don't have very many huge big men, and he's the Bosnian beast. He's a giant, huge beard, huge muscles. He's like 7'2", and you saw him bodying Jonas Valanciunas in the game against the Grizzlies, and you're gonna see him pushing around Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, people who are massive but still small compared to him. So glad he's back from injury, and I feel for him. His grandmother just died, and it's definitely part of his motivation to win this ring this year.
Yeah, and by the way, I also want to say, for anyone out there that's listening, is like, no one said Damian Lillard. We love Damian Lillard.
Yeah,
Damian Lillard. We just don't want to be
half
too.
Our show last week was Damian Lillard.
Yeah, we just don't want to be too basic. Like, Kawhi Leonard is already kind of basic. I only said him because no one's talking about him.
Yeah,
but everyone's talking about Damian Lillard. Everyone and their mother is talking about Damian Lillard. We love Damian Lillard. He would just be the most basic pick humanly possible.
My girlfriend,
point.
Who actually knows nothing about basketball at all, asked me who Damian Lillard was because she heard his name.
Yeah, so
which is incredible.
We love Damian Lillard, but he would just be too basic, and we would rant on for 30 minutes about Damian Lillard.
So trade. Who are you not? Who's not fitting?
Who am I trading?
Yeah.
All right. Who am I trading? In the playoffs right now, someone that is doing good, but not how they should be.
Just maybe could fit better somewhere else.
It would have to be probably
someone I've been saying should
get
traded.
CJ.
CJ McCollum, really?
I mean, I don't know because CJ's doing really good, but he's just, I feel like he's inconsistent. Yeah, just like he's so inconsistent, but we already know I wouldn't actually trade CJ McCollum, but I wouldn't.
He's definitely like one of those X factor players that if they play well, like the game's so opened up. If CJ decides that game that he's dropping 30, you're probably winning.
Exactly.
He carried them against the Nuggets last season. In that 7-game series,
yeah,
game 7, he absolutely went off. It was crazy. You dropped like a 50 piece almost.
Yeah, and see, CJ's good. I just feel like he's too inconsistent. I would never trade him though.
Yeah, I just because Portland loves him so much.
Yeah, and I like CJ. I just think he's very inconsistent.
Somebody I've been saying should get traded for a while. Oh, why did I just forget his name? It's the guy in Brooklyn with the huge afro.
Jared Allen.
Yeah, I don't know why I forgot his name. There's a lot of real big players in Brooklyn, and I just feel like somebody that's as good at shot blocking as Jared Allen needs more minutes. You know? He's from what I've seen so far, was playing really good against the Raptors. I just feel like he needs to be on a team where he can really, like, let shine, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody that doesn't have a great defense and that needs a player to kind of raise that up.
He needs a defensive anchor.
Yeah, Brooklyn is full of, like, hard-nosed, scrappy players right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like if you added Jared Allen to one of the weaker defensive teams, that he boosts you up a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
That presence in the paint is incredible.
Yeah, I agree.
And last but not least, who are we cutting?
This is where it gets a little difficult because there's a few players.
I mean, like, right off the bat, I think that we could both say KCP.
KCP.
That's a legit, that's not even like a fake cut. Yeah, that's like, I could legitimately see the Lakers just being like, get out of here.
Yeah, like, after this, because they can't cut him right now, but after this offseason, I could see him
getting
cut.
Yeah, I could definitely see them just being like, all right, get out.
I just don't want to choose KCP because is so
same
basic.
Thing. Like Danny Green hasn't been playing lately.
I don't want to say
those are easy.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to say that. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think about like a player you will like that's not, you know, KCP or Danny Green that's playing absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Trying to think. If you have one, you can go really fast.
I'll go ahead and share mine. For some reason, I just haven't liked the way that Aaron Holiday has been playing on the Pacers. Like he's really good and he's really young, but I think that him being good and young makes him kind of arrogant sometimes, and a lot of the time he'll act like he's like a star point guard or even that he's the best on the team and hold the ball for way too long or try doing these super elaborate plays and moves, and I get sick of it sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Aaron, we know you're good, but save that for when the starters aren't out here. Save that, like, you shouldn't be trying a 360 layup when Victor Oladipo's open at the three-point line.
I see what you mean. Trying to overdo stuff.
Yeah. Just gets a little too fancy with it sometimes.
A player that I would cut, man, or that I would fake cut, could say, honestly, if we're going out of the playoffs and a few games back into the regular season, I would say Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis is not playing good.
Yeah, he had an average game last game. Of course, an average game of Anthony Davis' standards is amazing in other standards.
In a game against the Lakers, in a game against the Pacers, Anthony Davis had 7 points. Did you know that LeBron once went like 300 games without dropping under 10? 300 something games without dropping under 10 points.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I'll look it up right now and we'll end on that stat.
That's impressive. Yeah, he's looking that up. I think I would not literally cut Anthony Davis, of course. I'm going to keep saying that. But if we're going also just like maybe 3 games, 4 games before the playoffs started, I don't think he's playing too hot. Anthony Davis had like a 15-point game, I think a 9-point game. And I mean, he just dropped a 28-11, which I said is really good in other standards. But for Anthony Davis, that's his below average and maybe below average boards and average in points.
LeBron has gone 990 games without dropping less than 10 points.
And for sure, the last time he did that, wasn't that against the Brooklyn Net? Was it the Brooklyn Net? No, he dropped less than that in the Brooklyn Nets game on the Heat. He had to. I remember watching the game.
But Michael Jordan's longest streak was 886. LeBron James approaching 1,000. Absolutely insane.
That's impressive though. Nonetheless, so very impressive. I think that's all we really have.
That's all I have to say.
That's all I have to say. Thank you, Brett, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Yep. And please tune into my show in about 10 minutes.
Yep, and you will be back on next Thursday. around, we'll probably start around
11:45.
I think now we have a time set, about 11:45 to 1-ish, about 12:50 right now.
Yeah, about, let's say 11:45 to 12:45.
Yeah, that's about an hour.
Yeah.
We ran a little bit into Brayden's show because he had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Which I do appreciate that, Brayden.
Fine, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I make sure you guys tune in to Brayden's show. We'll see you guys next Thursday around 11:45 to 12:45. And, yeah, that's about all I have to say. Peace.
Thank you for listening.
Yep.